3, 2, 1, and we're live on air.
What's good, Flagler Hall listeners? Oh, fuck. I see. Yo, we've been gone so long, I fucked up the intro. What's good, Flagler Hall visitors and Clean Sheet listeners? We are back. Back again. It's been about 8 months, 9 months, 12 years, 18 years. It depends how long you've been listening, but we are back. We are back. The Clean Sheet is back. Your favorite podcast analyzing some of the world's football and three of the top best analysts, honestly. Like, I mean, shit, if Carragher and all these other guys can get analyst jobs, I petition we should be there, bro. But anyways, it's been too long. Thank you guys for staying here live and tucked in with us. Of course, I have to introduce the two mates to the right of me. This is a crazy remontada. To the left, right, center of me is the deadlifting demon. Shotem is back.
Hello, y'all. It's been long, bro. A lot happened in life. I went to med school. I left med school.
yo. Why are you capping? Why are you capping already?
Well, it feels great to be back. There's a lot to discuss.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And to the left, right, or center of him is the man himself, Mr. X. Riangelo. How you doing, boy?
How are you doing, boys and girls? It's great to be back. I really love that our podcast is back. You know, we teased it, and now we're here, back for another episode.
Let's get started. Back again, absolutely. And we've missed a lot. Please go ahead and subscribe or follow, whatever you want to do, whatever platform you're listening on, because we are planning on coming back on a more routinely basis. We got some lined up for you guys. So there's been a lot to talk about. Next episode really is going to be the one we're going to kind of talk about everything we missed, just because I feel like today's episode is a little bit more urgent. There's been a lot more stuff going on. You know, we have a whole lot to talk about, including later on in the episode, if we have time, possibly some World Cup roundup, but definitely our Team of the Year 11 pick. So please, please stay tuned till the end for that, because that's going to be an absolute blast. But let's start where we need to start. And that's the World Football Roundup, baby. It's the biggest games in the world. A lot of big games are happening this week, and some of them even yesterday at the time of recording. And we have to start in really the biggest shock, I would say, because Brighton beating Liverpool is not a shock at this point, but United beating City, Ole Ten Hag has pulled that out of the bag. It's a 2-1 win from Manchester United over the Citizens at Old Trafford to climb it to third place. There was a lot of controversy with this one, especially the first goal. Was it offside? Was it not? But in terms of the whole performance, I mean, City did the usual City thing where they dominated for about 60 minutes of it. I would say that 60 minutes really doesn't start at the beginning of the match. I think going into halftime and then coming out of halftime, I think it's when City really were hitting the stride. And you have to say that the equalizer really did come against the run of play, but Fares. I mean, once they actually equalized, I thought Manchester United absolutely took the game over. And that's really where all the ball tactics kind of ended. Like, the rest of the game was extremely Ole ball, but it was overall pretty good performance from United. I obviously will be happy they got the 3 points. And obviously we have to have a conversation about City, because at this point, you know, there's a lot of people questioning if the top goal scorer in the league is actually a detriment to the champions rather than the icing on the cake, as many people thought it was gonna be. So I want to start with you, Rio. What did you think really about the performance? What were your takeaways? What does this mean? Because obviously now United are 1 point behind City, so go ahead.
Let's first start off with the winners today, Manchester United. They have been doing excellent under Ten Hag. I think Ronaldo's departure has been fantastic from the side. I think big egos are being set aside by Ten Hag, and he is saying, if you're not playing as a team, you're out of this team, which is fair from a manager. I think he's the first manager since Sir Alex Ferguson to actually treat this team the way it should be treated. You know, previous managers like Ole or Mourinho maybe not have like the backing or funds, but he also has only had one big signing as well, really like two, with Lisandro Martinez and of course Anthony. And I think they've worked out pretty well, implemented it into the side. But in general, this United side played pretty brilliantly. He understands that City is a very possession-based team. They like to use their attacking fullbacks to get up the pitch, and they leave holes. So he used Rashford and Martial up top to counter, And I thought that Bruno and Casemiro did fantastic during that game. They literally dispossessed the ball and it's immediate. Rashford and Martial is up there, just send it up. And that's how many of the chances were created for both players, Martial and Rashford.
Really, for sure, shout out for sure to Casemiro, who was really good today, as pretty much usual since he joined United. But
like, it was a brilliant performance, in my opinion, from like those three, Casemiro, Fernandes, and Rashford. Just watching it back was just literally Casemiro dispossesses, gets it to Bruno, Bruno slides it straight into Rashford constantly over and over again, and City had nothing to say for that.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Karim?
Like you guys said, United have been playing fair in their last 5-5 and they're won 5 straight games. You know, they're in form. We can't deny that. But I want to add on to what Enrique said. This was a typical City match, bro. They held the possession. They were creating chances. But in the end, you can't win a game with one shot on target. It's just you can't. And when that one shot on target is coming from Jack Grealish, not even Erling Haaland or your Phil Foden or your Mahrez, you can't be winning.
Fair is fair. I definitely agree. I think at some point you do have to start questioning some of the more old-timer performances some of the more old-timer players on this team. Like, I think Kyle Walker really started to show his age a little bit. I think Bernardo's slowed a bit this year. And maybe it's because his head has been elsewhere, because I do know it's been now 2 or 3 seasons where every offseason it sounds like Bernardo's leaving. And he doesn't. So maybe it's just the fact that his heart's not in it. You know, I know when we get to Liverpool, I definitely feel like there's some players whose heart's really not in it anymore. So I do think Bernardo's levels have dropped a little bit. I thought Grealish's cameo was actually surprisingly good. Outside of the header, even, like, I've had problems with Grealish and Guardiola set up this season because it seems like he's become a little more one-dimensional in his play, but Grealish's cameo was very good. And it seems like, you know, this could be the thing that kind of steps him in the right direction. So I don't know. I mean, look, overall, we're talking about kind of the impact of the game. I feel like there's people out there saying, are United in the title race? I mean, look, we're going to talk about the predictions for the rest of the season next episode, but I feel like, just to kind of give a little bit of insight to that, my answer is really no. And I feel like, you know, it's a bit, you know, premature at this point. Yes, United have gone off to a very good start since the World Cup again, but you look at the squad from top down and the attacking options aren't really there. Even before letting Ronaldo go, this isn't some sort of, you know, praise on Ronaldo. I mean, even before Ronaldo left, the attacking options were thin. You know, you had guys like Cavani before the season left, you know, Ronaldo left, you know, and now it looks like Martial is really your only 9 at the club, like recognized 9, because we kind of noticed now Rashford's best position is cutting in from that left hand side almost. So it's a little bit concerning, the attacking options for United, but I don't know. What do you think, you guys, the impact on the actual table?
I don't think that United have a chance of winning the league. They are guaranteed a top 4 spot, though. If they continue playing like this, I don't see how they don't get top 4 at all, considering that their rivals would only be City and Newcastle at this point, because Liverpool and Chelsea are just falling down the ladder completely. So they definitely deserve a top 4 spot if they keep playing like this. In regards to City's woes, though, I genuinely think that this game could have been won by United. I think it was Pep's fault at the end, because it was around like the 70th minute, like late 70th minute, that they actually conceded the equalizer. And I honestly believe that he should have taken out Bernardo Silva completely out of this game and subbed in someone like a Gundogan or a Calvin Phillips. They're on the bench and they can play that like 8 role, like alongside Rodri, and actually hold the game up for them. Because you can't, I don't know how they're not winning a game having like 70% possession against another side. And I don't know why the fullbacks are still attacking so heavy when you're up 1-0. Just kill the game. And they did not. So I believe that right there would be Pep's fault. And overall, United played it brilliantly.
Real quick, I want to get your thoughts on it. I want to go to Kareem first. What do you guys think about the goal? The first goal, obviously, the one that
United scored.
Yeah, I personally, and obviously as a Liverpool fan, you know, it's whatever, but I do think, in my opinion, you can't really say that Rashford wasn't impacting the play. Like, I feel like it's pretty clear. Obviously, he's coming from an offside position, but the question is, obviously, did he impact the play? And I think he did. I mean, he drags Walker out. Well, he doesn't drag Walker out, but he drags Akanji, you know, towards him. And obviously, that gravity isn't there if he's not there at all, which he shouldn't be because he's offside. But Kareem, what did you think about
I think 2 years ago that goal would have stand, but with the improvement of VAR, they're making all these decisions and all these changes, and that for sure is offside, bro. Like, I don't know if you guys saw, I'll send it in the group right now, but there's a picture where they photoshopped Rashford out, and you can see how close Akanji is to the ball. So if Rashford is not there, Akanji's getting in there and he's clearing it. Like, yeah, there's no doubt with this Photoshop picture of them taking out Rashford. There is no doubt in my mind that Akanji would have cleared that.
Yeah. So
I think with the new rules, it has to be called offsides. And the FA, I think they released a statement on it. And I read it, bro, and it was just a load of bullshit. Saying that, like, he didn't stop the defenders from attacking the ball, all that bullshit. It's offsides at the end of the day, bro.
I actually have a different opinion. I actually don't think that's offsides at all.
Why is that?
First off, you could argue if it's offsides or not, but the whole goal is to be blamed on City. From like the inception of how it even started, Juan Bissaka is being pressured, I believe, by Bernardo Silva. João Cancelo steps up to try to defend the pass that Juan Bissaka is going to make into Casemiro and completely misses the ball, opens up the back line for an incisive pass by Casemiro. I'm glad that he overhit that ball because he did. He was trying to look for Rashford. He was. But Rashford's offsides. Rashford doesn't touch the ball. Akanji can still come in and step in. He just slows down. That right there is not Rashford's fault. And I believe that's the defender's fault because Akanji should be shifting over. Rodri, who should have actually pressured Casemiro, did not pressure him. Casemiro plays a great ball through. Rashford does not touch the ball. He did not impede with the play necessarily, and Bruno has a great finish. The defender should have done way better for City there. I think that's a bit of an excuse, and City deserved to concede that.
I don't think you can say that he didn't impede on the play, though. When you have someone in front of you who you know, because he was completely offside. So when you know he's like five steps offside, you know they're going to call it. Mm-hmm. So like, if you look at the picture I sent in the group chat, that if there's no Rashford there, he's 130% clearing the ball. 130%. Like, without a doubt.
You could say that for a lot of things, because there's been plays before, like, I've seen it as well, like, a ball will be played through, but the striker doesn't touch it. And then the defenders be like, he's offside, but then another player comes and runs through to get the ball. That's a defender.
I don't think we've ever seen a play, like, to this magnitude, because it was a long run. It was a long run.
It was a long run. I do agree. I get what your point is, Rio, but I do think at the end of the day, like, to me, like, if the goal is to try to simplify the rules the most as possible, which is obviously what the goal is at the end of the day, I feel like it's a simple, did he or did he not impact? And it's like, yeah, because I feel like he did. You know why? And especially this is because you see him literally when Bruno's about to shoot the ball, you see Rashford like literally about to size up like he's going to shoot the ball and then literally put his hands back a second before. And then let Fernandez shoot. So it's like not even does that. Not even. No, I get it. I know he didn't. But not only does he obviously the run obviously, you know, pull Akanji and confuse the defense, but also from an Ederson perspective, which, you know, Ederson's not a great shot stopper anyways. So you could argue he wasn't going to save it anyways. But even from a shot stopping perspective, if you have someone in coming from your left hand side and faking like he's about to shoot it towards your right hand post, if that happens and you start sizing up one way and then Bruno comes in and slots it in on the other side, which is what you saw happen at the end of the day, yes, he probably wasn't going to save it either way, but that's like that to me is like the most clear like impact that you can have on the ball. Is like you were literally sizing up to shoot it, dummied the keeper essentially one way, and then last second Bruno came in and shot it from and obviously Rashford was an offside
position. I completely agree with that. Like look at the same picture, bro. If there's no Rashford, Ederson is not going to be that high up in the box.
Yeah, yeah. But either way, yeah, that I think that was, you know, hopefully we don't really have to. I feel like it's a very interesting point, because I feel like Rio makes a good point in terms of, like, did he affect the play? Like, in the most literal terms, no, he didn't touch the ball. But I feel like it is interesting. I would like to see, now that this quote-unquote precedent is set, I would like to see what happens if this happens again. Like, I don't know. It is so subjective that, like, if this happens again, I'm sure it won't be the exact same. But either way, let's move on from there to the other derby that happened this week that did affect the title race pretty significantly, because now it looks like friends of the podcast, by the way, Tristan, shout out. He might be partying alongside with some Arsenal fans, because it looks like Arsenal now 8 points clear at the top of the Premier League after it was the scoreline, I feel like, didn't reflect the actual performance, but it was a 2-0 win over rivals Tottenham Hotspur in the North London Derby. Thoughts, honestly. I mean, I can't believe I'm about to say this, because I still don't think that, how do I say this? Like, I still don't think this Arsenal team, obviously, I don't think this is crazy to say, but this Arsenal team is obviously not comparable to the Liverpool City teams of the last 5-6 years. But in terms of the play style, this feels like the baby, the Walmart, the discount version of, if you took a little bit of Klopp's system, a little bit of Pep's system, arguably a little more of Pep's system. But, like, I feel like if you combine these two, it's a little bit like that. Like, the counter-pressing is there. The smoothness of Guardiola is there. Like, it feels like both of those styles mesh together. Obviously, nowhere near at the level of those two teams the last 6 years. But it feels like Arteta, under Guardiola, and then watching so many Klopp games with Guardiola, has been like, yo, like, there's things I can pull from both these systems. And, like, I feel like he's done that well, obviously. I mean, he's 8 points clear now. But I want to get your guys' thoughts specifically on the match before we go bigger picture. What did you guys think of the performance? I thought, obviously, Odegaard, who's been in crazy form, can't believe Madrid let him go away. But, I mean, he also wasn't going to be – no. Before you fucking go crazy. Yes, you know, his role at Madrid, they waited a long time, maybe. So this was bound to be coming. But let's go. Who wants to start?
I think I'll start first. I thought that Arsenal played really well, but I think Tottenham just got unlucky. I think just certain performances just let them down. Kulusevski just couldn't hit the target today. Kane did what Kane did. You know, he hit the target. He was trying. He was definitely slipping in his teammates. I think just Son has, like, another abysmal performance again. Not doing much.
We need to start talking about this man, bro.
Yeah, Son is not it right now. I don't know what happened to him at all. But I genuinely think that Arsenal are going to win the league, unfortunately. They're just playing really good football, and props to them. I do kind of agree with you. Like, it's kind of like Arteta's kind of taking off, like, things from Klopp and Pep. The only thing I'd say he's taken off, like, Pep, is definitely, like, their possession-based style game and stuff like that, and they counterattack so well off the wings. But I really like that they don't use the fullbacks as much. They're not, like, attacking fullback heavy, and I think that's what makes them, like, very good defensively, that they're just able to attack with those, like, four front players and having, like, Partey come in and stuff like that, or Xhaka, which makes them, like, really, really good.
You would say right now on form, that's, that front four is one of the best front fours you can think of. I mean, that's why I feel like he's so comfortable just saying, hey, we're going to have Xhaka and Partey sit. Obviously, Shaka's got a little bit more up than usual, I feel like, this season, but there's a reason why he's so comfortable letting those two sit and then just say, hey, you know, give the ball to those front four, they'll figure it out. Kareem, what did you think of the performance?
I think Arsenal, you know, they're showing their class. But Tottenham, I wouldn't say got unlucky, but showed that they're prone to errors. Like, when you start a game in the first 15 minutes with an own goal, that should not be an own goal. Some would say it took a deflection, but it was not a big enough deflection where it should be going into your own goal. So I saw a stat that Tottenham have 6 errors this season leading to own goals. And you can't be a top club like that. So I think Arsenal did show their class, but even after the second goal from Odegaard, they had a severe fall off. Like, they were just sitting back. They weren't really attacking as much. But one player that isn't getting enough credit on this Arsenal team is Aaron Ramsdale. He had a performance. I think he stopped like two great saves from Harry Kane.
Yeah.
He is a big glue to this Arsenal team, and he is not getting the credit he truly deserves, honestly.
I feel like he's had a little bit of the Bozo gene, to be honest, like in terms of like he has made some errors, but for when you think about how young he is, like where he's come from, this really being his first season as like a big time keeper. Like he's definitely, like you say, he definitely does deserve more credit. But yeah, very, very good point. I feel like there's a lot of guys on this Arsenal team where it's like the definitely, and this is why I feel like it feels a lot like early Pep's side, you know, like it's definitely the sum is greater than the parts, because when I look at guys individually, like when I look at, you know, a Zinchenko, when I look at a Gabriel Magalhães or again, even Ramsdale, it's like, these guys on their own, I wouldn't be, you know, if you line them up in an 11, you know, Liverpool versus whatever team, and they happen to be in there, I wouldn't be shivering me timbers, but I'd be in there, you know, I'd be comfortable. But with this Arsenal squad, Arteta has kind of given these guys the confidence and the system and, you know, everything, the tools to actually be successful within the team. And I feel like they're actually playing, it's not, you know, disrespect, but I feel like they're playing out of their skin, like, because they're so confident right now, like everything is going their way and you're seeing that roll on effect. And I feel like that's happening a little bit, not just with Arsenal, but another team we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, Newcastle. Like, it feels like a lot of teams this year are playing, you know, greater than some of their parts because of the confidence of where they're at right now. And kind of shows you like what that type of feeling does to a team. So any thoughts on the Northland Derby? Arsenal 8 points ahead. I mean, it looks like it's gonna happen, unfortunately.
As a fan of the league with no affiliation to any Premier League team, I'm loving this, bro. I'm loving not seeing a Liverpool City 1-2, you know. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
If only Gabriel Castillo stuck true to his team, he'd be driving right now.
That's facts, brother. That's facts. I mean, to be fair, if it had to be any other top six team before the season, like, I would have picked Arsenal. Like, they're the only one. Well, the fan base is getting a little bit rowdy now. Like, they're getting a little disrespectful. But like, if there was any top six team before the season, if you would ask me, like, if it can't be Liverpool, I probably would have said Arsenal. Maybe City, because nobody cares about City, but. From there, we go to the obliteration in the South Coast of Brighton. This was good. Brighton obliterate Liverpool at the Amex, a 3-0 drubbing. Goals from, I believe, Welly and the two from Solly March. What a player he is. Honestly, this segment, look, I'm going to give my little 2-3 words on Liverpool, because usually when Liverpool lose, like, you know, when I'm having a conversation with someone about it, it's like, yeah, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. This time it wasn't the case. I mean, Liverpool were bad. We're very, very bad. Like Klopp said after the game, this is probably, you know, the worst performance I've ever had as Liverpool manager. I don't think so. I think he's just trying to, you know, lift the boys up and say, hey, like, you know, there's a rock bottom, whatever, which is what a coach does. But I thought Brighton on this day were absolutely unbelievably good. Like, I'm talking, like, again, I'm not trying to
disrespect. That's their best. That's their best performance. I'm not gonna lie. You hit it nail on the head.
Hyperbolizing, whatever it would be, right? Like, but this, like, when I saw them play some of the passes and 1-2s and triangles they were playing, this shit looked like Barcelona 09. I'm not even playing, bro. Mitoma was playing like prime Messi, bro. Like, it was ridiculous. This team is so well drilled, and we're not really going to be talking about the table next week. We're just kind of going to be saying our champions, but like legit, I think Brighton might finish top six this year. And I think if this team was backed with like serious investment, I genuinely think they could make a push at like top five, maybe even top four next season. Like, it's very possible. Very possible, especially if, you know, Liverpool continue to fall off. I think there's a very big power vacuum that this Brighton team could fit in, to be honest. So I'm just gonna say real quick, look, shout outs to literally every, I can't even single out a single player. Literally top down, that Brighton performance was unbelievable. The Argentinian, who's not really Argentinian, McAllister, fantastic. Moises Caicedo, this is why I've literally been saying, like, since October, bring him in. So good on the half turn. He picks that ball up with you literally see Dunk or Colwell. By the way, Lewis Colwell, fantastic. Caicedo received that ball, and then on the half turn, just immediately ping a ball towards Mitoma. And to be fair, you know, obviously we're going to have discussions about Trent, you know, for the rest of the podcast. But, like, I thought Trent actually held with him, like, well enough, you know, like, in terms of a Trent defensive performance, I thought he was good. It's just Mitoma was another level. He was class.
I don't even blame Trent for Mitoma, man. You know whose fault that really is?
I would blame
Fabinho and Henderson.
Yeah, I would blame Hendo, but you know,
Henderson is where we're in Trent that game.
Hooferson had a special today, bro. I counted like six or seven hoofs. That Henderson hoof kills me every time, bro. Like, now that like we're gonna get into it a little bit later, but like now that the season for the Liverpool at the Prem is pretty much over in terms of like anything other than maybe the fourth spot, like. It's so funny sometimes watching the Henderson hoof because it's just like, what are you doing, bro? Like, imagine if you were Thiago and like real ballers, right? Like real ballers. Like I'm talking, you know, Thiago, Brazilian heritage, Spanish heritage, and you see this guy Henderson trying a first time volley pass. Like, what are you doing, brother? Like that's not in your bag, you know. But Brian was phenomenal today. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah, go ahead, Rio. Go ahead. Take it away.
This Brighton side, fantastic. I think that this shows really, like, Zerbi's great, but he inherited this from Potter. Oh, and Potter has... I know this guy might be thinking, I'm the Chelsea props. This should be one thing to give Potter time, but that's beyond the point. Zerbi has taken this side, and he's made it also kind of his own, but Potter has drove this side to its core to make his job 10 times easier. Because most managers, when you lose a manager like that, like, you feel like your team's going to go down, and they play excellent football still. So they have the coaching, they have the identity, they have the ideas. And De Zerbi has taken that and took it to a different approach as well and made it a bit better as well. This Brighton side completely outclassed Liverpool. I don't think it was a bad Liverpool performance more than just Brighton just did way better than Liverpool, right? I think for Liverpool, though, my biggest annoyances out of this game was Henderson, Matip, and Fabinho. That ruined, and that was literally at fault for three goals.
Yeah, well, I thought it's funny enough, and if you've been listening to, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, because our last pod was like back in March 2022, but I said last year, and I still do kind of stand by this. Well, no, I don't really stand by it anymore, but at the time, I said Matip was our best center back last year, and he really was. He was absolutely phenomenal. Anyone who told you Virgil van Dijk was the best center back for Liverpool last year doesn't watch the game. But I do think Matip's first half was good. The second half was so unlike him, honestly, in terms of giving the ball away. Obviously, the third goal, he literally gave the ball away. Or the second goal, my bad. But yeah, he was outclassed. But like you said, I have seen worse Liverpool performances. I really have. I've seen worse Liverpool performances like this month, you know, like in the last month. It was just literally Brighton were a different level. And Ox, honestly, look, I love Ox. In terms of a personality, you know, Liverpool fans will know this. Like, Ox, in terms of he's up there with Naby, bro. Like, in terms of personality, like, if you go on Liverpool and watch the videos and show that, I love Naby and Ox, bro. But as players, Ox, his time is up. He needs to go. Especially down that left-hand side. If you told me he was that right-sided eight, maybe I could buy it because he has that relationship with Trent, you know, and he can give you something going forward, which is something that the midfield doesn't give you. By the way, amazing stat, right? Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson, which most people would say is the best Liverpool midfield, zero goals this season, all of them. So that's the problem.
They'd say that's the best Liverpool midfield? Damn, you guys are in the trenches.
They would say that, yeah. Yeah, like I'm saying, like management, Klopp, whatever, right? Like if there was a final tomorrow, that's probably the midfield they'd play, which, you know, 3 or 4 years ago would be great, fantastic, but not today. Ox needs to go, in my opinion. Gakpo, I feel like this is something we're going to have a transfer sheet episode, you know, little hint next week or this week, whatever it is. But so we'll talk about Gakpo a little bit more in depth there. But I feel like Gakpo has just not been up to it, not been lively. And then Salah today just had no service, like genuinely, like literally no service. There was times where Liverpool were literally camping in their own box for an extended period of time, like 20, 25 minutes. Literally, the midfield was non-existent, you know, so it literally turned into the Trent show where Trent would try cross diagonal to Ox to try to get to Salah at the end of the play. And that worked one or two times just because of Trent's quality. But, you know, in terms of actual fluid football, no, that wasn't there today, which is playing through your midfield and actually trying to win duels. That didn't happen. Fabinho's obviously turned into a traffic cone. And, you know, the midfield of Caicedo, McAllister, even Lallana. It's crazy. Lallana was literally right next to us winning Premier League titles or Premier League titles and Champions League titles and all that. He's like right there, right? So even he looked like his legs were on a third wind yesterday, right? So it's just like, it's crazy. He actually is older than Henderson. Okay, yeah, Lallana's 34, I forgot. So yeah, I mean, look, Kareem, what are your thoughts real quick? We'll take a quick move on after that. But obviously, the performance from Liverpool, I don't think it has to be said, was shambolic. Where do they go from here? Honestly, you know, there's news about the Qatar sale going through, which, you know, assalamu alaikum, bro, inshallah. But at the end of the day, bro, it's just, it's dark days. It's dark days at Merseyside. And the mid-off is coming next week, baby. Liverpool and Chelsea are equal on points at 10th place and 9th place. This is the mid-off classical right here. I'm looking forward to it. Kareem, what are your thoughts?
I've been saying this. Liverpool is not a top club. Liverpool sucks.
Oh, my God.
Liverpool is not a top club. But genuinely, I think that many teams like Brighton this year, they see that Liverpool is not at the top of their game. So they are not afraid to play against them. And they are not afraid to play the way they want to play. Yeah. You know, back then, they used to be scared of the front three. You know, this shows Salah, this showed Mane carried. You know, the drop-off is very heavy. They used to sit back and have to play. They would have to play counter. Now you see Mitoma, you see McAllister, you see Caicedo. They're balling against Liverpool. Konate who?
This guy is pushing his prop, bro. I'm ending it. Nah, I mean, look, real quick, I want to double down because generally, this Brighton performance is one of the best performances I've seen. Like, this was ridiculous. Like, I don't think I've ever looked at a team outside of the top six and been like, that entire 11. It's not just like a one player like Aston Villa, Grealish, or whatever. Like, the entire 11 was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous performance. Like, if I could sign half the team, I would. I generally would. That's how good it is. But let's move on there to, we were talking about the mid-off Clásico. It's time to get to the real Clásico. The Super Cup, Barcelona, absolutely spanked Real Madrid. 3-1 was the final scoreline. Benzema got a consolation goal because, you know, he's a patter. But anyways, Gavi, Lewandowski, Pedri on the score sheet for Barcelona as they won 3-0 in the Super Cup final. There's only one guy I want to turn to, obviously, because as he said, you know, if your team lost this week, they're not a big club. They're not a big club. They're not a big club. So, Kareem, what happened? What was the performance? Admittedly, I wasn't actually watching this one because I was watching the Dolphins, baby. The Dolphins. You feel me? By the way. Yo, maybe we got to get a little pod going for NFL. I don't know. Who said that?
We'll see if we go 5 for 5. Yo, tonight,
we might
bro.
Get a Prize Picks podcast going low key. You feel me? But go ahead, Kareem. Take it away. What was the performance?
I think in this game, we, as you know, Real Madrid, they just weren't, the midfield was not competing against Barca's midfield. And that's what it really just came down to. You had Pedri and Gavi playing sensational. And then our midfield was just not comparing. We have a couple injuries, but that's not excuses. But when it was Gavi versus Camavinga, bro, Camavinga looked like absolute dog shit. It was awful. It was awful. Comparing the youth, it was really bad. And there were really no chances created. Vinicius wasn't, I don't know if he's still crying about Brazil or something, but he wasn't creating. And in the end of the day, I can thoroughly say Barcelona outclassed Madrid. So that's really what it all comes down to. One team wanted it more, and they got it.
Yeah, which is really crazy when you think about it, because it's like, you know, I've begrudgingly been propping up Camavinga this last couple of months, because it does seem like he is progressing at a rate, obviously, that many Madrid fans didn't think would come this quick. But it kind of shows he's not quite ready, I think, for a full-time performance. Obviously, he got hooked at halftime, but, you know, I'm not quite sure what this means for the league. I feel like it doesn't really affect the league, because it's like, obviously, you're still only 3 points behind Barcelona at the end of the day.
And in the only league, team, in the league, we beat them 3-0.
Yeah, so. You're the only team actually to have beaten Barcelona this year in La Liga. So, yeah, I mean, Rio, what did you think about the performance? Obviously, when you're going up against the youth of Gavi, Pedri, you know, you forget Lewandowski is still firing there. Like, he's still doing really, really good over there. So, what was that performance like?
I think it was just really bad for Madrid. I don't know if they call it a great Barca performance. I just know that anytime, like, it's never like a Barca perform like absolutely well. Like, ever since like the actual El Clasico era, like, it's more like now, like, oh, like Real Madrid performed bad and the Barca just capitalized. It's never like, oh shit, this Barca side is gonna like mollywop someone. Otherwise, they'd still be in the Champions League.
That's funny.
Like, in reality, like, it was just horrible from like the back line. And so I think it was more like the back line. Like, they just gave up completely.
Let me just say one thing before we get off this real quick. One fan base celebrates Super Copa, and then another fan base celebrates Champions League. Okay?
Oh, my
God. That's all I got to say. I got to put propaganda.
When's the return Clasico? We got to have a Barcelona fan on.
I think it's in March.
Well, I mean, technically real. In March?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we might have to enlist Sebastian or something. Anywho, so yeah, that was a Super Cup. You know, not a real trophy in my book, but whatever, right?
Agreed.
Oh my God, you don't get to say that, brother.
Wasn't it like Saudi Arabia?
Let me get. Yeah, it was in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
let me give a quick shout out to Anthony Tulip, one of the biggest Barcelona fans I know. In his own words, I quote:
"Oh my God.
If Real Madrid wins, it's a Mickey Mouse Cup. If Barca win, we're just better." That's his words.
It's consistent. He's consistent. You know, at least he's consistent. You know, like he's showing you his hand before he plays it.
Showing me no shame. That's
no shame. That's facts. That's facts, brother. Well, real quick, just because I feel like we probably won't have too much time for it, but real quick, I do want to run over, since we missed it, our thoughts on the World Cup. I mean, obviously it was a huge event. I feel like everything that has to be said about it has been said by someone else or whatever. Obviously the final, but let's try and focus in not too much on the final. What do we think overall about the World Cup? Was this one of the better World Cups of all time? Was this one of the worst World Cups of all time? What did you like, dislike? You know, what were the thoughts? I'm gonna start with you, Karim.
I just have one thing to say, really. There's never been a bigger FIFA script I've ever seen. and that's it. That's what I think.
I do kind of agree to be. I do think some parts, it was just too good. It was too good to not be scripted.
You can't have six penalties for one nation where Morocco are getting freaking tackled in the box every game and end the whole tournament with one penalty.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I do think there were some pens Argentina got this run that were a little bit fraudulent. But I'm not taking away at all from what they did. They were the better team, even though obviously before the tournament, I thought that without Romero, there would be like a quarterfinal, you know, crash. But they were good. They were good. Rio, what'd you think about your Eid?
I just think that Messi's considered or should be considered by everyone the greatest player of all time. That's all I have to say.
I mean, does anyone not think that? I think even like Kareem, right? Kareem always says like, yeah, the GOAT is Messi, but that's not his GOAT. Like, yeah. I think that's fine. Yeah, like I think that's fine.
I used to always say that the best player to ever play soccer was Messi, but the best career was Ronaldo. But now that it's a World Cup versus a no World Cup.
To compare it a little bit, it's like, you know, my GOAT is LeBron, but like I know the GOAT right now is Michael Jordan.
In 300 and what is it, 64 points?
Oh, when he gets the
scoring title.
Yeah, I'm gonna start pushing that prop. I'm gonna push that prop to be fair, but. Yeah, I thought that was good performances World Cup. Obviously, you have to give a shout out to Morocco, first African team to make the semis. I genuinely do think that within the next three World Cups, I think we will see an African team in the final. I think the quality was top down, very good from all the teams. My French pick didn't really let me down, honestly, because if Cole Muani had scored that, you know, 118th minute chance against Emi Martinez, you know, we're sitting here saying Mbappe's back to back, arguably making a case for GOAT. But you know, I thought it was a good World Cup overall, very exciting, a different time of the year. I thought at first I really didn't like it, the December thing. Like, it just felt very different, the dynamic, obviously, because I'm so used to, like, seeing with y'all and, like, summertime and it's hot. But, I mean, it was in Florida. It was still hot. But, like, you feel me? Like, it was a different feel. But by the end of it, I was rocking with it. Like, I liked it. So
I liked that it was – the final was, like, the end of the year, you know? It was, like, that one last big game of the year.
Yeah, it was. And that has a really big impact on our Team of the Year 11, which we're about to talk about. So – Team of the Year 11. This is gonna be fun. We might go over just because this shit is about to be a blast. But real quick, Team of the Year 11. Obviously, if you don't know what that is, we're just gonna be picking out our 11. Which, by the way, we're just gonna do 4-3-3 because 4-4-2, whatever. That it just starts making it difficult. 4-3-3. Every single position is in it. So we're just gonna go 4-3-3. And this is our Team of the Year 11 for 2022. Obviously, there's a lot of things we didn't talk about in 2022 that happened since the last podcast. So this will be a good chance to talk about shit like the Champions League final and the beginning of the season and stuff like that. All right. So let's get started with the goalkeeper. And it's perfect because it's three of us, so there should be a disciple. In goalkeeper. You know what? I want to let you two go first. Go, Rio.
It should definitely be Thibaut Courtois.
Yeah, there's no discussion. There's
not a debate. Okay, so since you two went with Courtois, that means I get to pick Allison because it doesn't matter, and I get to show I'm biased, and it should be Allison. But by the way, I don't want to stay on this too long because I know it's going to fuck up our runtime, but I genuinely believe. And the only reason I know it's Courtois is because of the final performance. You can't argue with that, right? It's like saying, you know, should Messi have been player of the tournament for the World Cup? Technically, I think it should have been Bobby, but whatever. Like, since that World Cup performance in the final happened from Messi, where he got the two goals and it was this big, you know, remontada for Messi, like, technically, I get it. You kind of can't disagree with it. It's the same thing with Courtois' CL final performance. Because he had that performance in the CL final, like, I can't really argue against it, but I do think the rest of the year, Alisson has actually been better than Courtois. And I've seen it week in, week out. Because he saved this Liverpool team. I promise you, without Alisson this year, Liverpool would genuinely be, like, not in a relegation scrap, but we would be like 12th or 13th. I guarantee it. There's so many games. The Crystal Palace game is one I can think of on the top of my head. West Ham. Like, he's a different animal.
Alisson hasn't faced Courtois' competition this year. It'll always be Courtois.
I mean, I get it in the CL, but not in the Prem.
The only case you can make for Alisson is Liverpool's defense is much more shite. So that's really it, bro.
Courtois is also the Golden Glove of La Liga
and of the CL.
Yeah, but Golden Glove is just clean sheets. You're always gonna have a team that's more well drilled, like City. Like, for example, Ederson has what, 4 Gold Gloves over Alisson's 1. No one in their right mind should say Ederson's better than Alisson.
Ederson over Alisson, I agree. Okay, it's a right back now.
So no, let's go to left. So the left back, I think this should be a clean sweep, right? Mm-hmm. Theo.
Theo Hernandez,
yep. Good year for Theo. We'll give a little clap to Theo. Very good. You know, I thought his World Cup was surprisingly divisive when I thought, like, it was kind of the most Theo thing ever. Like, yeah, he wasn't amazing defensively, but going forward, he's going to give you that burst of pace. He's going to give you that cut inside. Like, it was a Theo performance. Like, he was very good. And yeah, definitely deserved it. Kareem, did you have Theo as well? Yeah, right.
Yeah, still can't believe we sold him for 40 mil, bro.
That's true. And Fabinho. Too. Moving into the center backs position, I think this is probably the most interesting part of the team because it's not completely 100% decisive. So let's start with one center back. Rio, give me your one center back.
Thiago Silva.
Okay. Okay. Kareem?
For just one?
Yeah, just give me one. We'll go.
Eder Militao.
Oh my god. Oh my fucking god, bro. Stop pushing prop. Stop pushing prop, man. Look, I did have Kareem knows this because we actually had a conversation about this. I did have Thiago Silva as three yeah. people to go into my two. He just slightly didn't make it because I thought his World Cup, which is surprising, because I think his Premier League season this year has been phenomenal. He's been by far Chelsea's best player. He's been so good. But it, surprisingly, his World Cup was a little bit stinky. Surprising.
I didn't think that's his fault. That was Marquinhos. Thiago Silva played excellent.
I thought that was a little bit of both of them, to be honest. Surprisingly, by the way. Like, I'm putting that caveat out there. I thought Thiago Silva, if you're going just Premier League year, like, if you're just talking about league year, he's in there with this guy for me. Yeah.
He played better than every single center back in the world, other than, like, Militao.
Nah, bro. I'm actually going this one might be a little shocking. I'm going with Stones. I'm going with John Stones, yeah. I'm going with John Stones. John Stones was phenomenal this year, especially in the World Cup. For me, he was great in the World Cup. In the first half of the year, he was great with City.
That's so crazy.
I'm going with Stones, bro. Now you know I'll defer to Thiago Silva, just because I do think if you're talking about like who would I want in my squad based on the performances from this last year, I would probably go Thiago Silva. But I go with Thiago Silva. Can we just rule out Eder Militao though? Like
no.
Militao has no place on this fucking team.
Militao is real second.
He's my second pick. He's yeah! the best center back. He's the second best center back in the world.
It's over. It's so over.
Who else are you gonna pick?
Fuck it. Second
Konate. He wants
second
Konate.
Center back. Go ahead. All right, I'll say my pick then. Ibrahima Konate, baby.
I think we should just end this podcast right here, bro.
Listen,
Stones and Konate, bro. What is that?
Dude, he's trying so hard to put a Liverpool player, bro.
You definitely should include a Liverpool player if you're talking about a team that first half of the year was on a quadruple chase, and this guy went to a World Cup final.
I have a question. Out of the quadruple, how much you guys end with?
Two
domestic shit trophies, bro.
Two of them on Chelsea's head, dude. That's the funniest part.
What did you just call the battle between Liverpool and Chelsea? The mid-off.
Yeah, it was a mid-off. Yeah, look, but real quick. Since you two are probably going to go with more predictable picks, real quick before I defend Canates. Who'd you go with?
Militao.
Militao.
And then who's your second?
Militao.
So you just have Militao playing one back?
Yeah, one back, baby.
You just have a Militao one back?
Nah, I had a Militao. And, well, it's weird. Cause
Alaba.
No. I mean, Alaba, you know, he played very decent. But not team of the year. Can you let me finish?
God.
Can you let me? I was gonna go for your old Konate, but okay. we gonna slot in Thiago Silva.
Oh, Thiago Silva. Nah, look, bro. Konate made it to a CL final. He was the second best performer in the CL final, and he made a World Cup final. Granted, he didn't start that final. He should have. He didn't, but he should have started it. He played good minutes in the CL final. And when you look at it, all of France's best performances came off the back of Ibrahima Konate. The Tunisia game, he was playing with literally subs, and he was the man of the match. He broke the record for most tackles in a fucking World Cup game. That game against Tunisia. So
wow, bro. That one game against Tunisia, bro. That's where he deserves to get. The
clean sheet. Two center backs are Thiago Silva and Eder.
Yeah,
Militao.
So Thiago Silva has to get in it, and then somehow Militao. Oh my
God. I don't know how he's not in it. He's a CL winner. He did really good in the World Cup.
Bro,
he should have tied against Marquinhos.
Can you tell me what the tie score was against City? The end of the tie. Can you tell me what the?
And you tell
end?
Who cares six. About who? Why
like
are we talking? Why are we talking about the semifinal, Enrique? Why are we not talking about the final?
Oh my.
Yeah. And like where he like literally like shut down like solid.
All right, let's go right back. I think this should be a clean sweep at the count of three. One, two, three, Hakimi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was gonna put Trent Alexander Arnold actually.
No,
bro. No, I'm being so let me speak. That's
no, I know. Well, I know that
I'm the guy putting in the Liverpool player. I think he's been the best right back in the world.
Bro, stop cooking.
If you were saying first half of this year, and no, even I mean he's
all,
been better
all year. Look, we can honestly be like, look, you can say all what you want about Trent. I think that he's just been a bad Liverpool side.
No, he is. No. I absolutely agree with what you just said. Absolutely, 100%.
He's consistent. Absolutely. His attacking play is the best in the world. He's better than Hakimi attacking wise. I don't care.
No, he is. He is. He absolutely.
And defensively, he's better than Hakimi as well.
I think they're both on par, but I think Hakimi just had a better year, to be honest. Like,
just because of Morocco, that's it. It's
all no, not first half with Morocco. I think overall, even with PSG, every time I've seen them play, like he's been front and center.
Recency bias.
No, dude, the first leg, I witnessed it firsthand, bro. Man locked up Vinny, bro.
Yeah, he was good. He was very good.
Not hard. Reece James did it.
Oh my stop pushing prop.
Reece James did it.
Like, stop pushing prop. Which, by the way, actually no, I won't say
that. Trent did most of the game. It's just that one like ball at the end, Valverde like cooked him. And that was mostly Van Dijk's fault. Like,
kind of. Yeah.
Trent has been the best right back.
You've actually low key been spitting. Which that sentence you said you spat like three times, bro. You spat.
Like, Trent is the best right back in the world.
No, he is, bro. Real. He is the best right back in the world. But I'm saying this year.
This is called team of the year, not best in the world.
No, he has.
He has been.
He's been second place. Close second, but not.
Hakimi has recency bias.
It's not recency bias, bro. He's performed the entire year consistently, whereas Trent has had a little bit of dips.
Okay, bro.
Trent's ceiling in terms of performances this year has been higher than Hakimi, no question.
Trent's performing in a shitty Liverpool side with no help. Hakimi has literally like some of the best players around him.
Yeah, and he's still standing out. That should tell you something. Let's move on to Liverpool.
No, we're doing center mids.
Yeah, we're doing three center mids.
DMs or... It depends. Center mid.
Okay, so you just don't have Casemiro in your team.
No,
he should not be there. What?
Oh my days, bro!
Oh my days. My three is two are not arguable in the midfield, and it's I think we can agree. Yeah, Modric and De Bruyne.
Yep.
Yeah, that should definitely. Yeah.
And then my third, after the hell of a year he's had, Valverde.
God.
Thank you, Kareem.
Yo, my brother. First off, we had this conversation the other night, Kareem. So let's not go into it again. His position was
a center mid.
He was a wing fielder.
You don't understand how Real Madrid played. He plays as a wide center.
This brother. Modric be playing the same exact way as Valverde, but Valverde just goes a little more higher up. Valverde is in the box for a little bit.
Either way, you know what? Fuck it. Even if you throw Valverde into the mix, I'm still taking Casemiro.
Wild.
Nope, I am.
That's recency bias.
That's not recency bias, actually, because Valverde was literally better, Casemiro in the CL run was more impactful.
No.
The DM let in five goals, bro. That's impact. I'm using your words.
Right.
That's
so why would you have Militao in over Casemiro then? Not with Casemiro.
Militao was just cooking in the World Cup as well, bro. He was cooking.
That's recency bias, brother. that's crazy recency bias. No, look, either way, I'm going with Casemiro. But Valverde has had a good year. I think he's fell off. His World Cup was stinky. I don't want to hear anybody defend
But that's that dude, how do you want him to have a good World Cup when you're playing with the likes of Darwin Nunez?
Bro, he's playing next to Suarez. He's playing next to Bentancur.
Suarez is like 35. It doesn't even play in the top five.
Yo, let me land, brother. Shit.
Yo, what league does Suarez play in, Enrique? Huh?
Yeah.
What league?
I know it's in South America, but he plays in...
Fuck, he plays for his childhood club. I think it was...
No, but it's not in Europe. It's not Uruguay league.
It's
Argentina, I think. It's the Argentina league, isn't it?
Which club is it? Which club was it? And which club does he play for now?
I genuinely
there you
forgot.
Go. All right, there you go.
Yeah. That doesn't matter, bro. Yeah, like, at the end of the day, the quality is there. Bro, Danny Alves was playing for Brazil, and he's literally in, like,
he's
where?
Clubless.
Where is he, bro?
He's clubless.
What you mean? In the beginning of the year, he was playing for Barca.
Okay. Yeah, beginning of the year, he's playing for Atlético. Anyways, let's go to the front three, which, again, obviously should be undisputed. I'm kind of mad that it's not. Like, every year, usually, there's a question about, like,
oh, my dog is playing in the Brazilian league, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, for good idea.
But he's playing in the second Brazilian league, the second division.
Absolute bum.
And he's like, Valverde is a really, he's a great player. Like, come on.
on, bro. He's playing next to Araujo, bro. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all.
Araujo was injured.
Oh, he was. He was actually.
Yeah.
All right, front three. Yo, we're going over.
I think this is simple again. There's no argument.
Benz, Bap, and Salah, right?
You mean Benz, Bap, and Rodrigo?
Oh my god! This brother is lost.
Benz, Mbappe and Lionel.
Real quick before you log, do you guys think France would have won the World Cup with Benz in it?
No. Yeah. What?
I actually think no. I agree with Rio. No. I think no.
No.
You know why?
You guys see the Benz and Mbappe linked up, bro?
Yeah, but
Giroud and Mbappe.
Yeah, Giroud had a tournament and a half though. Like, I'm not saying they. I don't know. I just don't think they would have. He would have made like crazy.
Look, you don't look, as Ben said, bro. You don't compare go karts.
I actually think if you know
the go kart is, bro, that's Benzema. that French side. For Real Madrid,
if you had Conte, they would have won the cup. Actually, I think if they had Conte.
Yeah.
No, but think about it, bro. If they had Ben starts, and then who's coming on instead of Kolo? My dog Giroud coming on, bro. Drew,
Colomani actually wasn't that bad. I called him a bum some points during the tournament, but he actually was pretty good. Like, I was wrong, to be fair. To be fair, it's probably because his first impression wasn't so good. I mean, he was literally fapping in the locker room, bro. Like, I can't really, you can't really expect me to think you're a good footballer.
Wait, you have to put the context for that. So, William Saliba,
yeah. Saliba.
Took a video.
My dog Goncalo did that and scored a hat trick, bro.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Gonzalo Ramos is someone's gonna slap a 50 on him and just flop so hard. It's gonna That's be Liverpool. Hilarious. Absolutely. We just signed fucking Nunu, bro. Why would we buy another Portuguese?
That thing is ass.
I think before we gotta do the 12th man too, bro.
Okay, yeah. Easy. For me it's easy.
Initiish.
For me, it's not easy because it's between two players. For me, it's between Valverde and Rodri.
I mean, Valverde's in our thing. Valverde's in our 11.
Well, if Valverde's in it, then my 12th man is either Casemiro or Rodri.
Okay, this is really controversial, but my 12th pick is Mason Mount.
Yo, what the fuck?
Enrique,
thank you for tuning
Enrique,
in.
Enrique, I'll go from Vinicius to Casemiro just to agree with you, bro. That way we get that.
Yeah. This has been the clean sheet. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, peace out.